In faith with hope. We glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations brings us patience. How many could use some patience? My daddy said to me, I remember when early in ministry, and I was going through a lot of trials and tests. I said, Dad, I'm praying for patience. He said, son, don't pray for patience, because patience brings tribulations, because tribulations grows patience. And I said, really, Dad? And he said, yes, son. And then the Lord said to me, I'm going to grow patience in you anyway, so tribulations are going to come anyway. Hallelujah. How many know that when you go through something, God's growing something in you? Amen. And if you get a reality of this, a revelation of this, nothing wasted. Amen. The only time it's really wasted when you go through a trial is if you don't let it benefit you when you come out of it. Hello? Amen. So we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations brings us patience, and patience gives us experience, and experience gives us hope, and hope makes us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given us. I don't know about you, man, but I'm thankful for the Holy Ghost. Amen. I thank God for the Spirit of God that dwells in us. Amen. You don't have to look too far for the Spirit. Amen. So as we're studying God's word, if faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, faith is going to increase in the atmosphere tonight. So tonight I want you to look in Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 18 is where I'm going to begin to read. That by two immutable things, immutable means unchangeable, unchanging. In which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. Well, two immutable things. Let's get a clarification there and clarity and understanding. The two immutable things is God's word and God's promise. All the promises of God are yes and amen. If God said it, it has to come. Amen. One thing about God, if he speaks it, it becomes. Amen. So it's impossible to lie, because whatever he said happens. Amen. So he says that by two immutable things in which it's impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. The veil has been torn from top to bottom. We, as children of God, can come right into the Holy of Holies, to the very presence of God. So first thing I want to speak to you about is let's look at, in truth, open your Bibles with me to Deuteronomy chapter 32. We have the Song of Moses. Testing, everything good. Hallelujah. Praise God. And Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse number 1, the word of God says, give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all of his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. So what we're looking at versus his truth. His truth first to console you and I. Amen. To console means to comfort us, amen? And so with this in mind, we find comfort in the midst of our trials. And 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll begin to read with verse number 4. The Apostle Paul writes, "Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the suffering of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer. Whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation." Amen. The word of God tells us, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all, and he'll comfort us in the midst of the trials and in the midst of the tests." And what he desires for you and I to do as his children, as he consoles us and as he comforts us, we don't waste it. We use that for the benefit of someone else when they're going through the trial. We comfort them with the comfort we received. Amen. Because God is faithful, what he's done for us, he'll for others, he'll do for you. Amen? So as you're looking at this, first, and we find comfort in trials. This comes, to console, it's in trust. The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse number 16, he said, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, we may be also glorified, that we may be also glorified together." Amen. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, there's nothing wasted. Whatever we're going through is for our benefit and the benefit of others. Amen. The truth is, he will comfort us. He will console us. And he says, by two immutable things, by his word and by his promise. All the promises of God to him are yes and amen, right? So as we're looking at that, thirdly, in triumph. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 16. The Apostle Paul writes, "Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God even our Father, which have loved us and have given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." Amen. So as we're looking at tribulations and the trials in life we go through, he's given us the Spirit and his word to console us, to comfort us. Amen. He wants us to recognize not only does his truth console you and I, but his truth also covers us. I'm thank God for the covering. Amen. I thank God for the anointing of God. Amen. The covering of God that's upon our lives. His truth to cover, he covers us with his mercy. With his mercy. I love the psalmist in Psalms 89. This is God's covenant or God's promise with David. And David said, "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. And with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shall thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen, and I have sworn unto David my servant, thy seed will establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations." Amen. So we find that you and I, God has us covered. Amen. I thank God for his shield that covers us. Amen. I thank God for the shield of faith that blocks all the fiery darts of the wicked. Amen. Now, the only time the shield of faith can block the fiery darts of the wicked is if you lift it up. If you don't lift your faith up, the darts are going to hit you. But the shield of faith will block the fiery darts of the wicked. Amen. So he wants us to know that we're covered. The truth of his mission in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse number 8. The apostle Paul said this. He said, "Who shall also confirm you until the end, that you may be blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ? God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." Amen. I guess one of the things that I have to constantly remind myself is that he is faithful. Amen. Amen. And since he is faithful, what he requires of me is to do what? To be faithful. Amen? Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. For they that come to God must believe that he is God, and he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. So as we're looking at this, the message is his message that covers us in 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse number 19. He says, "Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful creator." In other words, what he is saying to you and I is we're continuing to walk in faith even when we're not seeing what we want to see. Amen? If faith is the substance of things we're hoping for, the evidence of things not seen, by faith I continue to march forward. Amen? And he says here, "Whereas let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing." Amen? Amen? There's nothing wrong with doing good. We're do-gooders. And one of the things that God's saying about us being do-gooders, God challenges us to do better. Do better at doing gooder. Amen? Gooder. Now, when we use that the wrong way, it doesn't fit the English language right, does it? Amen? God wants you and I to understand that he consoles us, that he comforts us. And he wants you and I to understand that he has us covered. Amen? Amen? No matter what it looks like, no matter what it seems like, he is the author and finisher of our faith. And he who has begun a good work and you and I is faithful to bring it, perform it to the day of Christ. Okay? God doesn't start something he doesn't finish. Amen? So he says there his truth for us to continue in. Amen? When I'm looking at continuing in God's word, the apostle reminded his student to study to show himself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So as we take these words and apply them to our hearts and lives, we can't preach what we don't apply. We can't teach what we don't apply. Amen? He says, apply them to yourself, and then you'll be a witness to others of what I'm doing in your life. Amen? There's one of the things where I wanted to, early in Christ, I wanted to tell everyone to do what I wasn't doing. And then the Lord took me into that room and said, obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen. So he's called us, his truth for us to continue in, to sanctify us. How many know that our sanctification is a process that we're constantly going through? None of us have arrived. Ever learning, but never fully coming to the knowledge of the truth. The Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 15, he said, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, that they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Amen? So we're continuing in his word. You continue in my word and you should be my disciples indeed, right? So he also says to us, this is to settle this in our minds. And the Apostle Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 23, the Apostle Paul says to the church of Colossae, he says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church. He said, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Amen? I know as ministers, as leaders in ministry, we go through battles and storms that are for your benefit. Amen? And you watch and see how we handle the storms. Hey, they're helping me with my illustration. Yeah. Are you with me? So he's calling for us, you and I, to stand in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3. The Apostle Peter says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed, and the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being more precious than of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So what is God saying to you and I tonight? His truth is to console you and I, to bring comfort and trials. This comes in trust, and when we're in trust, we will triumph. His truth will cover us by his mercy so we can fulfill the mission with the message of Christ, and that we continue, we're the truth to continue to sanctify our hearts and lives, to settle it, and to stand in faith. So the word is sent to console you and I, reminding us that God does cover us and he empowers us to continue in the race that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. I love that song, the anchor holds, even though the ship is tattered. Amen. So God says to you and I is that hope we have in him, that no matter whatever we may be going through, God has sent his word to comfort us, to console us, amen, and recognize that we were covered with his mercy and his grace, and that we may continue to run this race. I've run the race that's set before me, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen? 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 And I want to remind you, as the body of Christ, God nowhere in his word says that we will not go through storms and trials and tests in this life, in this world that we live in. But what he assures us is he'll never leave us nor forsake us, and he gave us his word to sustain us. Amen? Amen? I don't know about you, but I know that when the enemy comes in like the flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift a standard against them. It's kind of interesting. It's kind of funny because I had this sinus issue. In fact, sinus issue for about a month and a half. And I'm praying, the Lord, take that thing away from me. And that thing still hung up and hung there. And I kept praying. And I wasn't taking anything for it. I was walking in faith. And then yesterday when I was at the park, the Lord said to me, he said, "What changed in your house?" He asked me a question. And I said, "Well, I changed my heat. I used to have hot water heat, and I put a heat pump in, okay, which has air." And he said, "There's no moisture in the air, and your throat and everything is drying out at night." So I got a humidifier yesterday, and it's better. Amen? Amen? How many know that? Don't be like me. Don't be a slow learner. I should have asked him a month and a half ago, you know, instead of standing in faith, and you know. You know, there's another question I asked the Lord today. One of the big questions, I was weeping before the Lord, and I was asking the Lord, "Lord, where did I fail you? Where did I miss you?" You know, it seems like, I missed him. I'm expecting all these things to be taking place, and things that he showed me that I'm not witnessing and I'm not seeing. And I said, where did I fail you? Where did I miss you? And I haven't got my answer. Amen. And so pray for me, because I want to be right on target. I don't want to waste any time. You know, I look at what took place in my body by carrying something for a month and a half and being miserable when it was a simple answer. Amen. How many are going through something you could probably stand to hear a simple answer? Sometimes we want to look for the complicated answer. We want to look at the profound and the deep answer, you know. And Jesus, God says, "I'll use the simple things to confound the wise." Amen. So most of the time when God comes in, he's going to show us something simple. I don't know about you, but he called for me to make some adjustments. You know? And when the Lord gives you instructions to make adjustments, I'm making adjustments, okay? I'm going to adjust to what it's all about him. Everything we're doing is for his glory and his honor, right? That's why we've gathered here. God sent his word tonight to console you, because some are going through some things, and your family with family members and loved ones, not necessarily just yourself. But God's word was sent to console you, to let you know that he's got you covered, but we need to continue and trust and believe in him. Can we all just stand? Hallelujah. Better watch out, I'll just start preaching. Father, we're so grateful, Father God, for your word. We're grateful that you sent it here tonight to accomplish something in every heart and every life of each and every one of us tonight, Father God. The word that was sent tonight is for everyone. For everyone. So for each and every one of us, may we ask you, Lord, how we need to apply this. Because somewhere in some circumstance or situation in our life, we need to hear this tonight, because your word says it will not return unto you void. It'll accomplish what you sent it to do. And the only time it returns void is if we don't put it to practice and put it to work. So, Father God, give us revelation and understanding how to apply this word that was spoken to each and every one of us tonight to our lives. By faith, may we put it to practice, and by faith, we thank you for the harvest. I will never cease to give you glory. In Jesus' name. Now be with us as we fellowship. Bless the food and the time of fellowship in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.